Isn't it amazing? We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to Jesus stepping back in on the scene. These are exciting days. Let's not fall too in love with the world or the things of it. Brothers and sisters, it's going to all burn in a fervent heat. Can you imagine all the things that we hold dear on this earth that's so important to us? All the stuff. And it's all just going to go up in a fervent heat. And the only thing that really matters is what you and I have done with the relationship that we have with Jesus. What we've done in that, that was spirit-infused, that's what's going to matter. Everything else just burn. God is so good. Man, it's so great that he gives us his word, gives us the intent and the ability by the power of his spirit to walk in his ways and to do things that's pleasing. That's what's significant about where we're at in chapter 12. It's not about you, it's not about me, and getting attention for ourselves. We talked about that in a recent Bible study. If you haven't been keeping up with this, I would encourage you to get back. There's a couple parts that we've covered in introductions and different things to this area of the gifts of the Spirit. It's really important because it's one of the five things that Paul the Apostle says that we ought not to be ignorant of or unaware of or uninformed about. And I still find, I know you are too. Many of us, we're still really learning about how the Spirit really wants to move and wants to work in our day to day. How does God want to move in our time in which we are alive now? If in fact, perchance we are in the last days, which I believe we are, and if in fact that's the truth, that this is, we're getting closer and closer and closer to a conclusion in this life, in this world, if that's true, if we're inching closer, then we are some of those who would be the last of those that would be calling out. We're not the first century church. We're not the beginning of it. But man, we might be those that are some of the last ones heralding out the call in this time, the age of the Gentiles in which we live. And what does that look like? I think we've got a generation. We've got a generation coming up right now underneath what's happening that is really fairly anti-church. I'm not so sure that they're opposed to Jesus in per se specifically, but they're certainly anti-church. They don't like organized things at all, organized groups. And it's an interesting time in which we live is how do we function as a body then? And I think that part of the key is really understanding the work of the Spirit and how it's motivated by love. We're going to get to that in chapter 13, not today. But next week, I'm hoping to get to that portion of Scripture because everything that we do is to be motivated by that. So that's important because the agape love that's talked about comes from above. God lives within you, and that motivator is done apart from your interests in it. In other words, it's not that you're going to get something out of it. It's not that I'm going to get something out of it. It's that God loves, and God wants to reach out and touch others with his love. And so he wants to display or reveal his body through the working of his Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple things that I think maybe will help. It helps me to understand kind of the breakdown a little bit, an understanding of kind of a breakdown in the working of the gifting and how it happens, both in discerning and in the more of a dynamic, a power to do something motivated by the Spirit, or those things that are things that would be declaring or those things that would be simply that, declaring, the ability to speak out something. So let's look at it in three areas. I think this will be helpful. These are just for your notes to understand this a little bit more clearly. I think it will be helpful. We find in the gifts specifically listed. Now, the word gifts in your context this morning, remember out of chapter 12, that was an insertion, wasn't it? Remember, it just says spiritual. So that was an insertion. And it's within context. And so it's fine with me if we want to look at that as part of the gifts. But let's look at it specifically, you know, in the use of the words themselves. The place that we find this word gifting or the operations of this, the gifting, the motivational gifts, this specifically is spoken of in Romans chapter 12. So the motivational gifts, or the gifts that we see operated in that way, are Romans chapter 12. And we'll jump over there and cover some of that while we're in this context at some point, just so that, but not this morning. Operations or energies we find here in this area of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is because we're talking about this as the diversity of gifts, but there's this manifestation, and it's given, one, these gifts are given in order for the benefit of all, and we're going to talk about how that plays out, these energies of the gifts, of how they move. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we find these ministries of the Spirit. We find these specific areas of ministry of the Spirit. This just, for me, was helpful to kind of look at it a little bit more, you know, breaking it out a little bit and just see it doesn't change the fact that it's all the gift and the moving of God's Spirit, but it helps to break it down a little bit. So Ephesians chapter 4, we find the ministries of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here we're finding kind of that operations of the gifts within the body. And then in Romans chapter 12, we find specifically the motivational gifts. So three areas now within the gifts is we find the discerning gifts, which are those that are the ability to know or understand things supernaturally that we wouldn't know otherwise. And what are those things? We talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits are those three. So, discerning gifts, the ability to know within the realm of the Spirit things that you and I would not know apart from God giving us insight to that. That's the working of His Spirit within you and within me. As a member of the body of Christ, God can use you in different situations. I had three or more that I was clearly clear on, things that this transpired after going over this last week. I had three or more events separately. I was just praying, ask the Lord, help me to pay attention to what's going on. I had three or more events that happened where there was a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And even then, more of another aspect of it, of the dynamic operations, or this ability, the power to do something that you wouldn't naturally, it's outside of the natural realm. The ability or the power to do something outside of the natural realm, that's another category, or the dynamic of the operations of the Spirit. And we see this with faith, healings, and miracles. The ability to believe and to move forward by faith, to do that, to step out like that, to do those things is an awesome expression of God's power and the ability to do something that you wouldn't normally do or be able to do. And the next area was the declaring, or the ability to speak under the power and authority of the Spirit in ways that you would not otherwise, and that was prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. That's kind of how this breaks out at this point. And for me, it was just really helpful to look at it kind of in that light. It was very helpful because sometimes it all gets muddled up. And when would this happen? And how would that happen? And what would this look like if that transpired? So that's why last week when we went through it, we kind of went through, well, we saw some things like this, tried to take some scriptural examples of, oh, that looks like this. And the word of wisdom, for example, was wonderful, wasn't it? The word of wisdom and how the word of wisdom works, it has a settling effect in a matter or a situation that you're dealing with. It kind of just settles things out. It's got this wonderful calming, settling, putting things together. I really like that. I really like the way that fit into our study. Well, let's pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 12. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, differing kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. I guess when we started with this idea of people looking on, and we have a generation coming up that's, you know, somewhat repels anything that's organized as far as religion or Christianity in particular is what I want to talk about because I'm not religious. But the idea of that is very interesting to me, and I'm wondering if the church in general, and I'm just going to say that in general, if it's not possible that maybe we lose touch as Christians with what's really going on around all of us, what's happening around us. And the fact that so many are detached in our world around us from anything that has to do with God. And then what about those who believe they're connected, but they're only connected through a religious concept? Through their own means of works and efforts, they're going to make themselves right with God. And we know that's fallacy. That can't happen. We know it's only through the cross, through forgiveness. And we see the plight of our world around us, the situations around us. And I wonder as the body, if we look at this, if we're stirred or how we're going to proceed. And I believe we desperately need the power of the Spirit, and we need the Spirit moving through the body to connect with and to impact our world, to infect our world, as it were, to infiltrate our world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, the fact that people would leave the planet without the Lord really, really just freaks me out. I mean, really bad. Because it's final. But I don't think we like living in the world of finality. We don't like thinking that way. But the truth is, that's what the Bible says. That if you leave the planet without Jesus, it's done. So this thing that we live in called life, it's space and time here, is very significant. It's very important what our conclusions are about who Jesus is and who God is. And it doesn't matter how much I love somebody, how much you love somebody. It doesn't matter how sweet a person they are, how lovely a person they are. It doesn't matter how base they are or how, you know, intelligent they are. It doesn't matter how much they have or how much they don't have. None of those things matter when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ. It's either you know him or you don't know him. There's not going to be a gray matter in that. Everybody, we want to live in grayness because gray is better. A lot of room in gray, you know. But there are things, and I like that, but there's things that are black and white. And when you get to it with Jesus, Jesus was very clear. I remember going through, and we went through Joshua, and Joshua is very clear. I like that. Choose ye this day who you will serve. I like that. Our world doesn't like that. But as Christians, we should like that. That's a prompting, motivator, a thing to work through and think on. Is that what I'm choosing today? Now, I want to choose each day when I wake up that, God, fill me with your Spirit and move through me, even supernaturally, whether I know it or don't know it. A lot of times, you and I aren't going to know those things. Let's look at this working of miracles and how it plays out. I really believe it's definitely tied or connected with, and we'll see areas that this takes place, this working of miracles. I don't know that it's just something you decide we want to work some miracles and throw them around the room or something like we see on TV sometimes. I don't know that it really goes that way. I'm not so captured by that. I don't really see that in Scripture. I see the working of miracles in Scripture very connected to reaching out and connecting with the world around us, evangelism. I see those gifts operating very openly within evangelism. Why do I say it? Because I don't see that the working of miracles, that building up in Scripture, the church itself, or God's people. Case in point, go back to Exodus, go back to Numbers. We watch all the miraculous things that transpired, and they still had a massive lack of faith. It's just the truth. They still lacked greatly. So is it miracles that you see that build up your faith? The Bible doesn't really declare that, nor do we see examples of that happening. But when we read through, and we're going to read through a couple little snippets of Scripture where we see the working of miracles was certainly a testimony as people were sharing their faith. that somehow subsequently behind the scenes, God was just doing the miraculous. What about the times when you're not really, when you, before you came to Jesus, you weren't walking with God, and you had these situations, these odd nuances of life that took place, these little things that happened that all were pointing to God. And only you knew it. Only you knew those things that were happening. Those events, those circumstances, those people that were talking to you, they're speaking exactly to your heart what you need to hear. And that's God knocking at the door, isn't it? That's the supernatural, miraculous taking place in a very natural way. But it's miraculous. Salvation itself is very, very miraculous. The fact that you and I could surrender our lives, humble ourselves, give ourselves to Jesus, and begin a new life in Him is a miraculous thing, a powerful truth. Evangelism, I really believe, is very tied to the working of miracles. Mark, his account in chapter 16, verse 14, it picks it up, and this is leading into his statement regarding the Great Commission. Mark says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11, as they, in verse 14 of chapter 16 of Mark's gospel. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. They sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Read verse 17 along with me now. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This miraculous things will take place as they are out in the mission field, as they are out connecting with, through evangelism, trying to reach the lost world around us. I like that because I see that playing out in Scripture. Throughout the book of Acts, we just don't have time to go over all these Scriptures, but throughout the book of Acts, you will see that happening over and over and over again. The miraculous was done as a testimony to the non-believer that they would see God at work and turn to God. Now, does it always happen that way? I don't think so. It just doesn't always happen that way. But your faith and my faith, the Bible says in Romans, Paul says this very clearly, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith, my faith, our faith is built up as we hear the word, as we're stirred by the word, because it connects with the spiritual man within us, or woman is fine. It connects with the spiritual person inside of us. So I really see this working of miracles as we see it, as it is revealed through Scripture as the miraculous thing that takes place that's pulling people into a personal relationship with the Lord as it's displayed, as people are proclaiming. And I think that can happen to you and me. We don't have to go to the other side of the world. We don't have to travel over Europe to do that. We don't have to go into Iraq or anywhere else. We can just be right here. We've got plenty of work to do around us in sharing the simple truth of Jesus Christ. And as you do, expect God to show up in wonderful, miraculous ways. And you know, when people say, oh, you know, that's really interesting, you know, and some, they share something that happened with them, you can point them to that. That's the Lord trying to express himself to you, reveal himself to you. Now, as we get to this next one, prophecy, so that gives you an idea, a little bit of working of miracles or the perspective that we have on that from Scripture. I believe that God does the miraculous. I absolutely believe that. But I don't think it's like we need to have specific services for the body to have the miraculous take place. I believe God is at work in a miraculous way all around us if we would just open our eyes and see that. And as we get out on the front lines of doing things, we'll start watching God move and do more and more things. This whole idea of snip, snap, throw it around the room, it's crazy to me, you know? Do you really believe that one person is entrusted with that kind of power and control? I believe as we get to the close of this one little portion, it says that it's distributed as he wills. And again, remember, this is given out in a situation where this is familiar to this group that's hearing this. They've watched the miraculous regularly. They see God at work in all of these areas. They lacked no good gift at all. Paul was very clear that they're blessed beyond belief that way. Prophecy, telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. Prophecy. A lot of times we just get hung up on prophecy, that prophecy's only this way out at a distant thing. But it's not just that. I understand that's part of the term of prophecy, that it's something that is way out in the future, and it's end times, and it's our eschatological viewpoints, you know, as far as the end of the world and so on. But it's not just that. It's the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. And it's always spoken in accord with God's word and in conjunction with the working of what he's doing at that point in time. In Acts chapter 21, Acts 21, verse 10, we can look at a situation that kind of gives us an insight to that. And we stayed many days. A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, Paul the Apostle's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So, he is telling forth something in the Spirit that is to transpire, not a big distant thing out there, but it gives you an example of something that would be the telling forth or the expression of the heart and intent of God in a situation, specific situation or matter. Acts 27 gives us some other insight to this. Acts 27, and obviously it's not limited to these examples. I'm just giving you some examples scripturally. Verse 21, but after a long abstinence from food, and this is when Paul was caught up in a nasty storm, and they had abstained from eating food. They probably couldn't hold it down anyway. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me." This is 27, verse 21. "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." He said, yeah, I guess he just couldn't resist that part, thrown in the "you should have listened to me. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." That is not real encouraging. When you're on the ship and there's no land in sight, and you're bobbing around in a nasty storm. "Hey, we're going to lose the ship, but I think we'll hang on to our lives." That's a little challenging. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" So he's just telling forth, again, the expression of a situation, an event, a circumstance. He is being the one that's bringing forth, saying, "This is the heart of God. This is what's going to happen. This is what God's doing." Now, I don't think that anything that is said in Scripture that is a prophetic word, it has to be found in Scripture. It cannot be inconsistent with the heart and the mind of the Lord. That's so, so important, because people come up to other people and they say funny things sometimes about this or about that, and they think they have this special insight, but it's not connected really with the heart of the Lord or specific scriptural consistency at all. God's not going to speak by his Holy Spirit something apart from his word. He just doesn't do that, because the triune Godhead is one. He's not divided apart. It's one. So the God is not going to speak something by his spirit that is inconsistent with the word. We're going to talk about this next discerning of spirits as it fits into the situation, the discerning of spirits. We're going to read this real quick and see if we've which ones we've. Yes, discerning of spirits is our next one in the list. Matthew 16, the discerning of spirits. Jesus, great example in this. Matthew 16, specifically verse 17 and then 21 through 23. You remember, Jesus is there in Caesarea Philippi, and he's with the disciples, and he's kind of gathered them around, and he's talking with them, and he says, so, hey, who do men say that I am? You know, and they come up with, some maybe Elijah, some this, some that, you know, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that. And then he listens and he just looks at him and goes, yeah, so who do you guys say that I am? What do you guys think? Who do you say that I am? And a couple things get said and Peter jumps right in. Oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turns to him and says, oh, Peter, Simon, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Man, you just had divine insight. The discerning, Jesus, the discerning of the Spirit. He was clear. Oh, that was from the heart of the Father. He discerned and knew instantly. This is in line with God's will and God's purpose and God's plan. This is wonderful. Peter, you've heard from the Father. You know, I'm sure Jesus was probably pretty excited. This is because Peter's not always the guy that hears from God, but you know, it was pretty exciting. I'm sure Peter was probably pretty excited. I think in all of his excitement, as you read on and you catch up with it in verse 21, and you catch up, he's so excited that he starts deciding he's going to give Jesus counsel. Isn't that funny? It kind of happens that way for us, doesn't it? You know, we have this great, bright moment of spiritual insight. And then I said, well, gosh, you know, I might just start counseling God. And in my prayer time, I'm just going to tell God how I think he ought to do things now. You know, I mean, it kind of goes that way. It's a weird thing that happens to us as people. And we want to guard against that. We want to be aware that that might happen, could happen. Because look at how Jesus, as Peter says, oh, you know, Jesus talking about the cross. He says, oh, no way. That's not going to, you know, that can't be so, you know. And he's trying to tell Jesus that's not what's going to go down. It's not how it's going to happen. And then Jesus just turns and looks at him and goes, Peter, get behind me, Satan. The discerning of spirit. To know, hey, that is, you are out of line. You're not in consistent thought with the work of God's Spirit, with what God the Father is doing. You've missed it. So we got the great, he made it, good job. We got the, deflation, not so good, you know? And it's okay. It happens. But what's so great is there's this discerning of the Spirit. There's this balance shown to us there. Acts chapter 8. Great one. Acts chapter 8. Very clear for us to see. This is verse 14. This is a good one. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. This is Simon the sorcerer. This is not Peter. he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He's a magician. So he's used to buying the trickery of others and exchanging it for money and you know, learning. He was a sorcerer. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion with us in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Again, it's that discerning of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, we see a situation that's similar there with, you remember when Paul the Apostle was in he'd gone to Philippi, and as he was there, he was sharing the gospel, and you remember he had met Lydia, and he was going back and forth, you know, traveling back and forth, walking, and there was this gal that kept kind of demonically calling out to him, and he discerned and knew this was a demonic spirit. And he called it out. He called her out on it and said, hey, this is a demonic spirit. This idea in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is important. That you and I pray and ask God to help us to be able to discern whether it's the Spirit of God or whether it's not. I'm very convinced for believers this is very, very important. That you and I would be able to discern. I have found that oftentimes the ability to have spiritual discernment can oftentimes be really directly connected to your time spent in the Word, your time spent in prayer, your time spent with the fellowship of other believers. I've really seen that when we get off with our own thoughts out here, our discernment starts to wane a bit. And we can't really distinguish if it's from the Lord. Again, it could be a dietary thing, spiritually speaking, what you're taking in. Now, I'm going to share another word of caution with this. It's not what you're taking in. It's not only what you're taking in, but it is how you are taking something in. Not only what you're taking in, but how are you taking something in. Sometimes you could study and read and study and read, and it could be even the Word of God, but you're only doing it to grasp something for you. You can read through and study just intellectually on some things. And I've found that causes also a weakness in discernment. It is in the realm of the Spirit that we're talking here, brothers and sisters. We're not talking speculation. We're talking in the realm of the Spirit, being able to determine, you know what? I do not see that as something consistent with the heart and the mind of the Lord. That's not a personal view. This is not consistent with Scripture, with God's intent. This isn't laced with love. This doesn't have compassion or forgiveness associated with it. There's this idea of really being able to discern whether this is of the Lord or it's not of the Lord. Not that you're going to be 100% track record. That's not the point in it for you personally. But I've found when I'm not sure about something, I don't say much. I just, we're just going to have to see what God's going to do with that. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. But if you don't know, don't go. You know, don't start running with it. If you're not, you see, there's a discerning factor even within that. Are you going to launch out thinking that you know something you don't know? That's foolish, right? So the discerning of things, man, is that really the heart of the Lord? And then if I'm not sure and I ask or I interact with a brother or somebody about that and they say, well, you know, I see where you're coming from, but, you know, the Bible says this, 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 and this. Man, I got to take that in. I got to digest that. I got to absorb that. And I can't, the thing is I watch so many people all of a sudden go into, they hunker down in a prideful vantage point, and they miss what God's trying to say through a discerning the spirit of a situation or the matter or what's going on with that. Discernment is a really, really, really wild thing when it happens, as you really see and you can see that this is not of the Lord or this is of the Lord. Let's read through. We're just going to read through a little bit further in 1 Corinthians and just kind of look at this from the perspective of what Paul is saying. In verse 11, I know it talks about differing kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, but really we get into that pretty in depth in chapter 14. So I know that's a question. I know you got thoughts about it. I want to tackle all that. There's no way we have time this morning. So we'll catch that when we hit chapter 14, and we'll go through it very thoroughly and hopefully very clearly that you might benefit from that and that you might grow in your understanding in that. Again, the things of the Spirit are wonderful, aren't they? Because you and I don't exactly understand exactly how it all operates, does that mean we should discount it? I think it's all the more reason to embrace the work of God. We're at this time of year when we're seeing so much potential around us. As we watch the grads and all this stuff, we just see so much potential happening out there. You know, you go to the graduation ceremonies, you see all the things happening. There's so much potential in these young lives. And I agree. And our world is packed with potential. And I think the body of Christ is packed with potential. But it is packed with potential as we follow the Lord and as we open our lives up to God, to be used by God for His glory and for His purposes. Man, that's where the potential really lies, is allowing God to do it. There's full of potential, but man, are we going to attain to any of that? And I believe that's going to be through a godly perspective. This last little thought, verse 11, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Man, I underline that. I have asterisks by that. I contemplate that. I think on that. Because, you know, it gets important because sometimes we look out and we want something or we see something happen and we want to, and yet it's really up to God to distribute those things as He desires to. It's the Lord's choice. It's not your choice. It's not my choice. I believe God wants to give gifts. I believe God wants to manifest Himself in many different ways. I'm very clear that He does. And I think it's a matter of, are you and I open today to that? Are we open to what God wants to do and how God wants to do it? Do you give God permission to do things the way He wants to do things? Or do you say, no, God only works like this box, so that I have to be able to understand it in my mind, or it can't be God. I believe that reduces God to a very small scope. And I believe God is much more vast than that. And so as we spent time just going through this part of the gifts and the working of the Spirit, we've got much more to cover and go through as we go through it. I know we're taking a little bit more time on this. To me, it's one of those things that I really believe our world around us needs to see Jesus through the body. I really believe that. I know that God wants to reveal Himself in these diverse and different ways, in different circumstances, in different situations. And He wants to move through you by the power of His Holy Spirit. But it's only going to happen as you and I allow Him and invite Him to do that. God is a gentleman. He does not force Himself upon you or me or anyone else. He wants to move in and through for His glory and His purpose. Father, we do thank You that You have a purpose and a plan. We thank You that Your Spirit is the one that does the work. Your Spirit's the one that distributes the gifts individually as You choose, the way You will to do it, Father. And I just pray that You'd help us to be open to that, that, Lord, we would watch You at work, see You at work. Help us to spend time and pray and ask for insight. And Lord, certainly we want to have discernment in these days in which we live as we watch things unfold around us. Lord, we want to be aware of who you are and how you want to move today, that we might bring you honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving gifts. Thank you for wanting to reach out. Thank you for being long-suffering, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name.